You guys ready for this year?
Yes.
Are you ready? I keep thinking it hasn't started and won't start till Monday, but it did already start. I know that. I want to thank again Pastor Jeremy for such an encouraging message last Sunday, and Pastor Nick, he's so gifted, and I appreciate his ministry and worship and the whole team being up here and leading us into the presence of the Lord. There's something special about being together in worship, isn't there?
Amen.
I mean, I spent a lot of time this last week just by myself in worship. And, you know, it's great that we can do that, and I love it. It's always been a big part of my life, but I appreciate this. So 2025, has anybody written it yet? You know how that goes? Remember when we used to have checks, and it would be one of those things you have to scratch it out because you mess it up a few times before you get used to the new year? But 2025, I know you guys, it's different, but I couldn't even conceptualize 2025 when I was a high school senior. I couldn't even think of that date. Do you guys, anybody remember that? I mean, to me, I know this is aging myself, which I'm fine with that. I'm cool with whatever, but I mean, 2000 was a long time away. Now, you realize the year 2000, that was 25 years ago. Isn't that weird to think about? I mean, it's bizarre to think about. It's crazy. I mean, today's date for me when I graduated high school, which is 1980, that was 45 years ago. That's like, I don't even feel like I'm that old, like 45, let alone graduated 45 years ago. That's just hard to imagine. But does anybody remember 2020? Remember what happened in 2020? Do you realize that was almost 5 years ago now? Isn't that crazy to think that was 5 years ago and that was such a huge event in most of our lives? I mean, it was disruptive. It was crazy for school, for church, for jobs, for life. I remember, you know, because we here, you know, our offices are separate. I didn't really change my schedule that much, but, you know, I remember driving in and thinking, man, there's no one on the highway today. Crazy. That was 5 years ago. It's hard to imagine. I mean, time flies in such a weird way. We learned so many new words. Remember that? I didn't know what COVID was or a novel. I didn't know what any of that was. What was 2024 like for you? Is it too far away now? Is it in the rearview mirror too far? It's been a crazy year though, right? During 2020, I think we often stopped and said, man, this is crazy. This has never happened before. And it was almost as if every new thing that happened, you thought, can't believe this is happening. Remember that? That was 2020. But even this last year has been so bizarre. You think about the weird time we've been in, just inflation and prices and, you know, seeing, anybody go to the store this week yet? Anybody still planning to go before the storm? Oh, you're crazy. Okay, well, I'm just saying, I went yesterday just to see, and if you're watching online, I'm so glad you're watching, and if you're watching from, like, I know there's a lot of people who watch from out of, like, California, you have no idea. When a storm like this is forecast, it's just comical. I went to the Price Chopper in Grain Valley. First of all, there was no parking places. I drove around a few minutes thinking, okay, this is nuts. So I ended up parking almost by the road. It was that far. And then I walked in. I didn't really even need anything. I just wanted to experience the chaos. And it was crazy. It was so funny. I mean, people are so intense. You know, they're white knuckling. They're dry, you know, and literally no bread. None. The entire rows were, I mean, it was empty. No eggs, no milk. And I thought, oh my Lord, help us. It's crazy. What a weird year, right? Politics. We reelected a president who was out for, I mean, that's only happened one other time in U.S. history. I mean, we are literally living in history. You know, we had a couple of assassination attempts, which I know for most of us, if you're my age or older, you remember, and that seemed like that was impossible to happen again. Like that would never happen again. And it happened this year. I mean, the news is insane. What's happening in Israel? Them fighting a four-front war with all their Islamic neighbors again? I mean, again, that was history. That's something we read about. You know, I think the last 73 was the last time that happened. And now, I mean, it's insane. What's going on? Syria, the dictator 50 years deposed. Unbelievable. Terrorist attacks, New Orleans, and then whatever that was in Vegas. I mean, still, I don't know if we even know or will know. I don't think, I wonder about this. I don't know if anything's going to ever be normal again. You ever think that? And I wonder about that. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an extreme optimist, probably to a fault. But looking into 2025, and I'm thinking, what is normal anymore? And will it ever be normal again? You know, with Pastor Jeremy, he preached and he talked about resolutions, and I know he was asking you, you know, who does them, who doesn't. And I know for some people, resolutions are just failure. I mean, you get that 1 week. I saw the funniest thing at a donut shop yesterday. I was driving by and it said, "We're the reason you're going to break your New Year's resolution." And I just thought, okay, that's funny advertising. But it was also, you know, as I drove by, it caught my eye and I looked in and it was packed. And I thought, you know, yeah, I guess there you go. You know, and if you've been to the gym this week, it's comical, which it's fun because it's packed, but it's good. And for some people, resolutions are just another day. I get it. But I get all that. I totally get it. And then New Year's itself, I didn't plan on staying up. I was reading a book, and then fireworks started going off, and I realized, oh my gosh, I missed it again. Usually I miss it because I'm asleep, and then anyway. It is a good opportunity, though, to consider your life. And it's a good opportunity to take a look back and to just think about, what do I want? How do I want? Of course, we can't control everything, but what do I want to be different next year? Now, you could do this every day, and I've had people say, you could do that every Monday. Like, I get it. I get it. But I want to walk you down a trip right here, and I want you to think about it. And it's funny because as I was listening to Pastor Jeremy's sermon, remember him talking about them packing the car up? Remember that? I was on a trip. So I had done this. I had packed. In fact, I brought, sorry, camera people. Can you stop? You going to catch me? This guy. There I am. Ah, see? They always say, you never move around. So I thought today I'd mess with you. Well, I've got this suitcase. I thought about packing. I'd already thought about it. So when I saw what Pastor Jeremy was talking about and their XB, I don't know if you guys have ever done a trip like that. We've done it many times with the kids where you couldn't see out the back and you're worried about stuff falling on them and all that. Yeah, we've done that too. But as I was sitting there hearing his sermon, I thought, I just had gone through this with packing and I wanted to make sure and prepare everything. Have anybody packed for a long trip? Has anybody led a group? When you do it for a group, it changes everything because it's like your issues multiplied by everybody. I was just telling somebody the other day, we were talking about coffee, and they were asking how much coffee I drink, and I'm like, is there a limit? I have no idea. For me, it's a flavor. I love it. I'll drink it all day long. I mean, I stop at a certain point because I want to sleep, but there was a time we were packing for a Mexico trip. This is in California years ago, and I had students. I just told them, go grab 10, you know, cans of coffee. So they did. So in the trip, it was probably halfway through, and most of us adults were just achy. We thought we had the flu, and we were kind of complaining, you know, how old people do. And one of the ladies who was helping us cook, she goes, well, you packed all decaf. What do you expect? Like, wait, what? Wait, what are you talking about? And they're like, well, look in the, and we had a tent with all the supplies. I go in, yes, there was all green, which the students, they didn't know. They just grabbed coffee cans. They had no idea. I wanted them red. They grabbed green. If you don't know, that's decaf. Like, why bother? Like, oh my gosh. When you pack, you plan things. When you plan a trip, you think about it, right? And you think about how you're going to go on the trip. You got to think about a lot of things. You got to think about transportation, right? You got to think about what you're going to wear, what you're going to plan, I mean, how you're going to pack it. You're going to think about your route. You're going to think about what you drive, if you have gas, if the tires are going to hold up, if you changed your oil recently. There's a lot of things to think about, right? And then where you're going and what you're going to do there, and of course, snacks, and where you're going to eat on the way. For me, generally, if I can plan in and out stop, that's going to happen. And what happens when you don't plan? Have you ever done that? What ends up happening? You pay, don't you?
Yeah.
You pay in ways you didn't expect because you didn't plan. Whether it ends up being maybe you didn't plan the right clothes, so you have to go buy something that you didn't plan to buy, and you have one at home, but you have to buy it again. So it's a waste of money, and you don't need two of them, but now you have them. That's how it works. Sometimes you miss things that are on your trip because you didn't plan accordingly, and then you miss something that you wanted to do and you didn't do it right. If you didn't plan the right route, you end up going places you didn't plan to go, and then that keeps you from going places you wanted to go. I mean, there's times where you do this and you end up with U-turns, and things are always more expensive when you're there. Of course, you know, if you're in a touristy area, the stuff costs more there than it does in normal life. And in fact, I had to stop and get gas in Arkansas at this place, you feel my pain yet? I'm like, surely I can make it. The light comes on, and I looked at the map, and like, there's no good. I ended up paying $1 more per gallon for gas. So you guys have no idea what I'm talking about here, but back in the day, it was one of those pumps where you pump it before, and then you go in and pay. I mean, when's the last time you did that? Remember how it was when you try to stop it right on the zero? Remember that? You click, 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 and get it right there. I'm like, yeah, I did it. I walked in, and she was not impressed at all. She, you know, she was probably 18, and she like, what? I'm like, nothing. You guys know what I'm talking about? You need to plan ahead. The thing is, when you do this, you end up doing things you didn't want to do, and you neglect other things. You miss things. What you may not realize is, I mean, this whole thing was just for that one illustration, but life is the same way. Maybe you don't realize it, but if you don't plan ahead, you end up paying it in the same way. You end up paying costs that you didn't intend to pay because you didn't plan. But part of life is you can do that. You can actually do it, and life comes at you like this. And some people just live their life and they just walk through it. And they ended up becoming kind of a victim of sorts of the world and life, and they complain, and you're kind of looking at them like, you could have planned better. I mean, you're in the situation, and people get there and they're like, well, how did I get here? Well, it seems obvious to me, but not to them, because they didn't plan. Now, granted, things happen that you can't plan for. I get it. But the fact is, the more you plan, the better all of that gets. And so rather than just living like a passenger and rolling with it, what if we planned life better? What if we literally packed for 2025 in a different way than we have before? Think about this for just a second. Have you ever seen that meme about, you know, tattoos and it says no regrets? Have you ever said that? Seen that? No regrets. Then you don't end up saying, well, I wanted to do this. I thought it was going to be like this. I wished I would have. You waste time. You end up wasting time in unplanned pursuits, and you waste time spending more for something that if you'd have planned different, it would have been different. Let me ask you this way. Do you want to be closer to God?
Yes.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you realize that there's a plan? If you plan, you can be. If you just go through life, it probably won't happen. Relationships are like that. I don't know if you've noticed, but, and I'm not, this has nothing to do with anybody in the room, so nobody get offended yet, okay? Let me just say, I pursue relationships with people because they're valuable, right? What happens if you don't? Well, some happen. Some happen. Some happen because you're around people. And some happen because you're on the same group or the team or the in class or whatever. But the fact is, the ones that you want to continue, sometimes it doesn't last. And I've had people say to me, well, do you ever get offended? Like, you're the one that's always planning and pursuing? I'm like, no, because they mean something to me. They're valuable to me. But it's okay. I want that. And my relationship with God is the same way. Do you want to know him more? Do you want to be closer to your spouse and kids? Do you want to be more useful in the kingdom? Do you want to be smarter next year than this year? Do you want to grow? Do you want to change? Do you want things to be different? All of those things matter more than a trip. I mean, if we're honest, right? And none of those things even compare to a trip. I mean, a vacation's great, but that's just a vacation. What I'm talking about is life, your life. And your relationship with God and others, all of that matters. So let's do this. Let's pack up a little bit. Let's make it different. Maybe you look back at 2024 and you realize you didn't really grow much. You're basically the same person. That doesn't have to be that way anymore. You could change that. Maybe you look at it and you think, well, I hit some obstacles I didn't plan on. Yeah, I get that. But you know what happens? If you're more prepared, those are easier to deal with. That's just the facts. That's just how it works. Maybe you packed the wrong things for your trip. You can unpack them. So let's talk about this for a second. This may surprise you, but do you realize humanity is basically the same as we were 2,000 years ago? I know that's crazy to think, right? Humans are still humans, and we still do the same silly things. So I want to take you to a piece of scripture, and as we read it, even though it was written about 2,000 years ago, I want you just to notice how similar it is to today. So let's look at the book of Ephesians. Paul is writing to a church. So he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people like us in a church in Ephesus, which would have been Asia Minor, been kind of in Turkey, you know, which is a different place today. But listen to what he says. He says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. He's talking about unbelievers, for they are hopelessly confused. Does that sound like our world today? Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Does that sound like anything you see in the world today? They've literally closed their minds and hardened their hearts. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. Wow, that could be today. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. He's talking to a church. Since you have heard about Jesus and learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your sinful nature, unpack some things, all right? Then he goes on, he says, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, put your new on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Pack something in different than that. Now, basically what he's talking about is the difference between our old fallen nature and the new nature God gives us. What he's talking about is the world system against God's system. What he's talking about is how we serve self or serve him. We get to choose. We get to choose what we put in our suitcase for this year. You guys get to choose. All of it is up to us. Now, he helps, but we have to make the choice. And maybe 2024 was difficult. I don't know. And maybe stuff that happened wasn't your fault. I get it, because life is like that. But what he's asking us to do and challenging us to do is to literally renew our thoughts and attitudes. Let's read that again, verse 23. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. God helps with this. And then you put on a new nature. You are doing it. You're packing the right things. Have you noticed that what you feed grows? Yes? Yes? Do you know if you work out, you grow muscles? I mean, that's life. It's a principle of the world. That's how it works. What you focus on is what you get. I mean, the more work you do for those things, that's how it works. They say anybody can be an expert in anything if they spend 1,000 hours doing it, which sounds like a lot. But when you break it down, 15 minutes a day, your life would be radically different in a year and a half. Radically different, no matter what it is. So here's the first thing to pack in 2025. First thing. You realize nobody grows the right way by accident. We can grow, but not necessarily the right way by accident. The first thing I want to challenge you to do is spending time with God's word. Now, I know how this goes. I know, because I've been a believer my whole life, and my whole life, I've found different ways to make the Bible and God's word come alive to me. And I'm so grateful for people early in my life who gave me access to Bibles that were interesting. Now, I grew up with the King James. Most of the verses I still have memorized are in King James. They just are. That's how my mind is. They're rooted in my mind that way, and I'm fine with that. I love the King James. But when I was a kid, somebody gave me a Bible that was like a comic strip. I devoured it. I read it so much it fell apart, and my parents were just like, we need to get this kid a new Bible. Then they got me a new Bible, which was a normal, regular Bible. But at the time, I needed something that would engage me in God's word. Someone gave me something like that. People ask me often, Pastor, what Bible version do you recommend? I have a very simple answer, and I'm not being a smart aleck. The Bible version you should get is the one you will read. That's what I say. Great. Whatever works for you is what you should get. Now, there are some I wouldn't recommend. I don't want to get into that today. But my point is this. You need to read something you will spend time in and read. And why would we do this? I always want to say why before what. The what is read the word. Why? Because God wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. You read it so that you know him, for your relationship to know him. I visited a church last Sunday, and I was so glad I did. I almost didn't, but I wanted to. I just wanted to be in God's house with God's people, and I snuck in the back. I sat way in the back, right where you are. And it was funny. You know, a lot of people were nice, and they talked to me, and all that was great. But I got there a little late, not on purpose, but I did. Got there a little late, scooted in, sat in the very back corner, and then I left right away. And then I emailed the pastor later and told him how great a job their church was. They were phenomenal. It was a great church, a great sermon. But he said this, and it made me laugh because I knew what I was preaching today. He said this, you can't live off other people's revelation. Okay, think about this for a second. Okay, God didn't intend for you to live off other people's revelation. That includes mine. He intended for you to know him for you. He wants a relationship with you, a personal one. Not you just living off what you hear on a Sunday. I'm glad you're here, don't get me wrong. And yes, it's good to follow preachers and learn things. Then he said this, and it made me, if you know me, I laughed out loud, and I was the only one, but that's okay. He said this. He goes, a lot of us live our lives, I'm quoting him, we're like dancing monkeys trying to hear someone else's revelation from the word following this preacher and that preacher and this preacher. And I just laughed out loud. Dancing monkeys. I just never heard anybody say that before, which was comical. But what his point was is you need to be in the word for you. Yes, learn. Yes, be here. Help. You know, that's what we're here for. That's part of my job as a pastor is to lead you that way. Ephesians 4 clearly says I'm supposed to do that. I'm happy to do it. But you need to know him for you. So you need to have a Bible that's yours or a Bible version that's yours. Whether it's electronic or not, that's not the issue to me. What the issue is that you yourself are in the word for you. So we want to help you with that. And scripture says that my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge, but I want you to read into his revelation for you and in 2025. I want you to know the word for you. Now maybe you don't realize this, and maybe you've never heard it this way, but God wrote the Bible for us to know him. It's from him to us. It is a supernatural book. Now, it is a collection of books. There are 66 books. The Jewish part of our Bible, the older part, you know, of course, is older, 39 books. It's got history. It's got poetic books. It's got prophecy books. It's amazing. Then you have the New Testament, the New Revelation, talking, you know, starting like that. It's a wonderful piece of literature. What you may not understand, it still today is the most read, the most printed, the most stolen, which is comical, probably out of hotels. I'm not sure for sure how they get that, but it is. Did you know at one time Mao, you know, if you're old enough to know who he was, but, you know, the leader of China, he wanted to outprint the Bible. And he tried. There's still warehouses full of his little red book, but he couldn't do it. I just heard this week that in 2024, they set another record for Bible printing in the United States. Isn't that amazing? Why is that? People are hungry for the actual word. Yeah, it's exciting to hear that. And it's an incredible record because, you know, there's books printed all the time, but the Bible still is outpacing. They're saying it's because of Gen Z, because they have a hunger for the word themselves, and they're printing the... Chokes me up thinking about it because God is still alive and this book is supernatural and it communicates truth. I heard this years ago and it has never left my mind. Every time I open it, think about this. This is the only book you will ever read that the author is right with you, reading with you. He is right there. It's the only book you will ever read, now listen carefully, that the author loves you and knew you were gonna read it. And he has things in there for you to read. It is a special book. I can't even tell you how special. This book has more cross-references. I know I showed this to you a few weeks ago, months ago. It has things in it that no other book has. It's the most translated, the most quoted book in all of human history. At that museum I went to in Texas, they have a replica of the Wittenberg Press. That's the first movable text press. It was the first book printed on that press. It's amazing to think of. You can trust this book. I wish we could get into the detail. I mean, it would fill volumes to get into the detail why the Bible is accurate, why it's trustworthy. People tried to tear it down forever. Their motive in tearing it down is because if they can tear this down, then they don't have to listen to the God who wrote it. I get it. People don't want to submit to God. I get it. That's human nature. It's what happened in the garden. Did God really say? So they try to let that question hang and try to tear it down, but they can't. Every single thing they've tried to say, the Bible isn't true or makes a mistake, not true. The Bible has been confirmed over and over, dates, places, titles, things as obscure as when Paul was in a shipwreck in the Mediterranean Sea and what port he went to and why he went there. Same thing. You can go today and they do the exact same things. In fact, they talk about how they were driven and they were going to shipwreck and they dropped anchors and they eventually had to cut them over. They found anchors in that exact spot. Maybe not his, who knows? But the point is that those anchors, that process happened over and over. Luke wrote it. It's incredibly, incredibly accurate. Archaeology over and over, Dead Sea Scrolls. You've probably heard this before, but they found those in the 1950s. Most of the Old Testament was in there, not every book. I don't think Esther was in there, but most of the books are in there, and they're identical to what we have today. You can trust this book. There's nothing like it. It's been copied more. It's been, there's no, it's just, did you know, this is crazy to think about. If we didn't have any early copies of the New Testament, did you know you can reconstruct the entire New Testament except for 11 verses just from the letters of early church pastors? They would quote, they would write letters to each other, quote the Bible, and they've collected all that. Within the first 150 years, they can reconstruct the entire New Testament. It's incredible. There's nothing like this book. If you haven't read it, or maybe you've gotten to Leviticus and thought, I can't do this, I understand. There's parts that are hard to read. There's parts to hard to understand. I get it. But if God wanted to tell you about himself, if he did, couldn't he and wouldn't he supernaturally bring this book to us? Wouldn't he do that? And if he wanted to communicate to you what he expects from us, why we're here, why we matter, his plan for salvation, wouldn't he do it in a book like this? Yes, he would. And wouldn't you want to read that if you wanted to know about it? Yes, of course. So a lot of people have asked me about a reading plan because we did a reading plan. We've done a reading plan the last few years, and I've really enjoyed it. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, what is he talking about? Well, we use this YouVersion Bible app. We've used it for quite a few years. I have a QR code that they're going to put on the screen. If you've never used a QR code, it's easy to do. All you have to do is start up your camera, zoom in, and what it'll do is it'll link you to this Bible reading plan. So the YouVersion Bible reading plan, the way it works is this. It's a free account. You can use, it has tons of different versions of the Bible. You can then share, like once you read what we're reading together for the day, you can share your thoughts, what God maybe taught you or a question you have, or it's interesting. I love doing it. What happens, I do my Bible reading first thing in the morning, so a lot of times I go back and see what people have written later. If you need me to invite you personally to the plan, I would be happy to do that. It's easy for us to do. What I love is, and what I would love for you to do is read this with us. Now, this plan that we're doing this year is a little different than the ones we've done in the past. It's going to be chronological. So it's going to start with the oldest Old Testament books, and then what it'll do is weave in the New Testament books where they cross-reference. I can't wait to do this. I just think it's going to be fun to do together. And what is going to be fun for you, if you've never noticed this about the Bible, the cross-references are phenomenal. And it happens over and over and over. And you might wonder, again, how did God do this? How did he write such a special book? Well, we're given glimpses into that. One of the verses that tells us about it is the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers, one of the key leaders of the church in the early times. He wrote this. He said, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. The way it worked is God motivated them to write. So that's why you get the beauty of their character and their personalities. You see the different ways that the different authors wrote, and we get a peek into their just inner thinking. It's a beautiful thing. With this QR code, here's something else. You can always find the sermon notes. Whenever I speak, I always put the notes in the YouVersion Bible app. I do that. It's personal for you. I have no idea who of you uses it because it's all personal for you. You can write your own notes in there, your own questions. What'll happen is if you follow along, you just go into the menu there, and you hit events. Usually our church will pop up. If you allow Big Brother to know where you are, then it'll pop up. If not, you can just put our zip code 64064. The church notes will come up. And then what's cool about that is as you're reading along, the verses are all in there. It's all there for you. The reason I do that is because, again, I want you to study the Bible for you. It's not about just the 20, 30 minutes we're here together talking about Scripture. I want you to be able to have that as a resource for whenever you want to go back and do that. We always put those links for you in the Facebook and just that way that you guys can check it out even before service. Some people, it's funny because I do put my notes in there, so they're my notes, and then I'll have people say, hey, you didn't say this point that was in your notes. I'm like, yeah, I felt like in the moment, I felt like God moving me past that, so I didn't say it. So thanks for keeping me honest. But you ready for the second thing to pack? You ready? We're packing. Here's the second thing. Prayer. Every relationship you have is strengthened or weakened by how much you do or do not communicate. You probably are aware of that. I know everybody communicates differently, but communication is something God values. Do you know humans, we're the only ones who communicate this way, the only of his creation who communicate the way we do. I geek out on a lot of things, but one of the things I was reading this last week was talking about how, you know, there's a lot of efforts by secularists to try to make it like we're the same as chimps or whatever. You know, God bless them. They literally do not have the communication ability of humans. You know, yes, we communicate with our dogs, I get it. And, you know, dolphins can communicate in a way, I get it. Whales, I get it. I mean, octopi are probably incredibly intelligent. I get that. But what this article I was reading was talking about is how humans, we have an innate ability for language. It's an amazing thing. Now, try this for a second. Try to think a thought without thinking words. You can't. It's how we're wired. Even logic itself, the way we think is hardwired into humanity. I believe that's because part of the image of God he gave us is he wanted to communicate. And as you read Genesis and the fall of man, and you see Adam and Eve sinned, and then God searches for them in the garden, that Genesis 3:8 verse will... It always is on my mind. It literally says God was in the garden calling to them because they used to walk and talk with him in the garden. That's what he wants with you. So he communicates with us primarily, his words to us primarily are his word, and we have it all there, but then he communicates to us through nature and the beauty and the creativity of nature, but he also communicates with us in prayer. Prayer is supposed to be not just us having a laundry list of things we want or need or complain about. It's supposed to also be a conversation where we communicate to him and we talk to him. He wants to know our cares and desires and wants and joys and happiness, but he also wants us to spend time and listen and literally spend time with him. Now, I love that you all come and you're here today, and I love that you are part of this today. I know I mentioned this for me. For me, prayer, it's important for you to figure out a time that works for you to talk to him. I feel like it needs to be more than just on our way to work or in the car, but actually a time where we stop and say, God, I want this time to be us. Now, I know for some people, they're like, Pastor, I just lose my train of thought after 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and I get that. But let me just challenge you with something. Whatever time you're spending now, if you were to just increase that incrementally, I bet you would find you could fill that time. I bet you could. I use a simple pattern. It's ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's simple, really. The A stands for adoration. I know that's not a word we use that much anymore, but all it means is worshiping God, worshiping him about who he is. And I do this a lot of ways because I'm a dork, and I don't mind telling you that. And if my little things work for you, great. I try to worship him for his character, who he is, the nature of who he is. You might think of it, some of you people, ontologically, like what makes God God, you know, his creative ability, his wisdom, his those things. Then I also, then later on the T, thank him for what he's done. So to me, they're different things. So in the adoration part, a lot of times I'll work through the alpha. I know I've told you this before, and you might think, does he really do this? Yes, I do, because it's how my brain works. So I'll thank him for something that starts with an A, and usually it's because he's awesome. And then I go through the alphabet, you know, B, C, D. I mean, I know for some of you, you're like, that is weird. Maybe. But what it does is it gives me a tool which I use to worship him, and it just grows my time with him, because when you start doing that, you can't believe how many more things you think about. About how he's loving and kind, and you think about your adoration of him can grow. And then time for confession. Let's be honest, we all have sin, we all make mistakes. Hopefully that changes as we grow in Christ and they're not the same things, but you'll find that maybe it's an attitude or a response that wasn't quite righteous, and you know, God, I need to change that, or whatever it is. Then I spend that time thanking him for the concrete things he's done, whether it's provision, where it's just things in your life or your kids or whatever, you just go through that. And then finally, I start asking him. And I ask him for things involving, you know, personal things and family things and church things and your things and the world. And please pray for our government. We're told that's one of the few things of scripture we're literally said. It says, pray for your government. I haven't always been faithful to do that, but I do that. And I pray for it. And whatever God brings to my mind, I continue to do that. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I find incredible joy in is not living Christian life by myself. I'm a very social person. I need to be around people. I need to pray with people. I need to worship together. That's why I'm so excited we're doing the worship night, but I'm also excited to invite you to pray together, to join this. Not only do the worship, the Bible plan together, but to pray together. I think about some things with this, and I think about how, let's talk about fasting for one quick minute. I mentioned that we're gonna pray and fast this next week. And I know for some people, fasting is a big challenge. I know for other people, I've got a friend of mine, he's on a 21-day fast right now. He's in California, and I'm praying for him. And, you know, we did that a couple years ago. I really prayed about, God, would you want us to do that? And I feel like, I just want to challenge you with this. Next week, I really want you to fast. I want everybody to try this. For some of you, it may be like this friend of mine, he's doing a water-only fast, which is great. Not everybody can physically do that or is called to do that. For some of you, it might be fasting social media. For some of you, it might be fasting something else, or maybe it is a meal or two meals or something. Here's the thing about fasting. The principle there is for us to teach ourselves, to illustrate to ourselves that whatever we're fasting is not our source. God is our source. So you are literally replacing that thing with him. So it's not a diet plan. It's not. You might lose weight, but that's not the point. The point is to spend that time with him. So if you give up a meal, spend it with him. Whatever that time is, whatever that thing is, spend it with him. I know our phones do this. I don't know if yours does it. I'm sure it does because they all do it now, where once a week it'll pop up and tell you your usage time. Anybody have that? You look into it and you're like, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? Here's the thing. You can take that time and spend it with him. There's way more productive things. You can pack time with him in that trip rather than time with a phone or social media. So all that to say, I want to transition us to what we can unpack for a second. One of the things about Pastor Jeremy's sermon that made me, I did laugh out loud. Thankfully, I was by myself in my truck, but he showed that picture of the back of his car completely packed. It looked like a UPS or FedEx truck. Anybody remember that? You couldn't see light through it. I've done that a number of times. Kind of proud of myself for doing that. And then he said this, and this is where I laughed. Everything was essential. I know he was being facetious. Because if we're honest, we've packed a lot of things that aren't essential, right? Not everything is essential. For some of us, there's things we need to unpack from our lives for 2025. Now, this could be stepping on toes, but let's think about it for a minute. The writer of Hebrews wrote this in chapter 12. He said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. You know what I love? He didn't mention which sin that was. You know why? It's personal. And for each of us, it's probably a different thing. For some of you, who knows what it is? I don't even want to name things because I feel like the Holy Spirit at this point is probably telling you what it is that you struggle with that you need to get rid of, you need to finally conquer. And the beauty of it is we don't do this alone. Flashing back to the verses we read out of Ephesians, the Spirit helps us do this. But then we need to decide what to pack and what we need to decide to unpack. For some of you, that unpacking, it might be people in your life who you know are not positive for you. That may be. And as harsh as that sounds, it may be that you need to take a break and spend time with other people. And maybe it's social media. Maybe it's somebody on social media you follow, and it's a train of thought or a way of thinking that's not healthy. If I could get Kristen or whoever's going to be up on keys with us for a moment to come back up here. For some of you, it might be unhealthy thought patterns that you've allowed to creep into your mind, and it's the way you think. This pastor, when I was at this church, he said, he mentioned something which doesn't cross my mind that much, but he said, some of you have a critical spirit in here. You know, I'm in somebody else's church, so he's saying that. You could hear people, ooh. And he goes, you know who you are? And I was just laughing because I don't know who they are. And I don't know any of you like that. So to be honest, I'm not sure who that is. But for some of you, it might be something like that, where you've fallen into a trap where you're allowing things in your mind to just kind of discolor the world, and God wants to remove that. That's not his plan for us people. It's not his plan for us to be negative and pessimistic about the world. Yes, ultimately, you know, the world ends, and I get that. But we as Christians are supposed to be a light in the world, and we're supposed to be the ones that point to grace and love where the world doesn't get it. You know, we live in a world that cancels and the world that crushes people and they block people out of their lives. We don't do that. We love, we forgive, we move on. Unhealthy patterns, attitudes. And then that sin, whatever that might be, you know what that is. The Holy Spirit can talk to you about that. Would you shut your eyes with me for a moment? I brought this silly suitcase up here just as an illustration about you packing up for your trip into 2025. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you've brought in from 2024 that maybe you need to unpack out of that case. But I'm sure some of us have some things. I'm sure that there's something in your life where you know, as you've been listening to this today, that the Holy Spirit has said, yes, this is you and this is the thing. You need to get rid of it. I don't know if that's you, but I want to pray with you if that's you. If there's something for sure that you know that there's you need to remove, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know if it's you. I just want to pray for you with that. I do want to also pray if there's things you need to pack in that maybe you've resisted. Maybe it is a set-aside time of prayer that you've thought, well, yeah, I pray enough, or it's not me. But as I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit has been telling you, yes, I want relationship. Never forget the why before the what. Yes, the what is prayer, but the why is relationship with God. He wants that with us, and he wants more with you. And maybe for you, you've thought, maybe it crossed your mind. It makes me laugh to think about it, but maybe you thought, no, I'm good. I've got enough. We never have enough. And the fact is, the God of heaven who created you, he knows you. He knows what you could be and what he wants you to be. And I'm not talking about external things. I'm talking you and him, that relationship. So I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you all stand with me for just a moment tonight, today, tonight? I'm a day off and time off, at 12 hours off. I just want you to shut your eyes for a minute. I'd like you to do this too. If you're comfortable with this, just raise your hands to him. Just tell him. Just speak in your own words, but just speak this to him as I'm talking. But tell him, God, whatever I need to unpack, please help me unpack it. Take it out of my life. Whatever it is that you need to put in there for this trip into 2025, tell him, God, help put it in. Let your Spirit guide me and make me closer and more into the image of your Son and more like you. And then we need to decide to make those changes. We're going to close this morning in prayer. I'm going to invite those of you who can help us pray, those of you who are staff and spouses, board spouses, if you'd come and help us pray. But if you need prayer for anything, it could be about one of these things. It could be something else totally. It could be for you, it's maybe healing, or maybe for you, gifts of the Spirit. Maybe for you, it's just, maybe you need someone to, you need to share something with them, and you just need somebody to pray with you and stand with you. If you would just move on out as we pray, and I'm going to close us in prayer. Father, I'm so grateful. Again, I'm just grateful for who you are, for your nature, the fact that you are love, and that you loved so much that you sent your Son, that you came as a baby, you came as a baby to this earth, a helpless child, just to live with us and show us and then to pay the price for our sin, that you made a way for us. And God, I pray for everybody in this room, for whatever it is, whatever that sin that so easily besets us, that you would help us to lay that aside right now, that you would take that from us and help us live free of that. And then God, that you would put into us whatever it needs to be. I pray, God, for each and every one in the room, everyone watching online, I pray, God, as we open your word this year, as we open that up, that it would be something that would just come alive and that we would see you in it in a new way, in a way that we've never seen before. And I pray, Father, for those times of prayer, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, whatever it is with you, that God, I pray that that would come alive in a way that we would feel a connection to you that is dramatically different than ever before. And I pray all that over these folks in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. Enjoy 2025. Go to the grocery store. Get home. Get safe. Let me know if you need something. I'll bring you some milk if you need it. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.